1 Corinthians. So if you find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, then Romans, and then 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we will look at today. Look at the topic of the power of together as we start a new series this week on equipped to serve. I believe the vision that the Lord has given to us is that we would be a place where Christ's presence brings life, healing, and restoration. And as part of how that it gets accomplished, the mission is that we would teach people to encounter the presence of Christ and equip them to carry his presence to the world. And so over these next several weeks, we want to talk about this idea of equipping and specifically around the area of how do we serve, how do we carry out the mission. God has uniquely gifted us, he has equipped us, and he has built us together as a family to be able to accomplish the mission that he has for us in the world, as well as in our own local body. And so over these next weeks, we want to talk specifically about equipping and understanding how God has made us and the place that we each individually inhabit in the place, the role that we have. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31 is where we will be looking as we make our way through this morning. The famed conductor, Sir Michael Costa, was conducting a rehearsal in which the orchestra that he was leading was joined by a great chorus of singers. And about halfway through the session, with the trumpets blaring and the drums rolling and the violins singing their rich melody, the piccolo player muttered to himself, "What good am I doing? I might just as well not be playing because nobody can hear me anyway." So he kept his instrument to his mouth, but he made no sound. And within moments, the conductor cried, "Stop, stop, where is the piccolo?" While the piccolo didn't think that he played much of a role in that loud masterpiece that was being performed, the most important ear, the ear of the conductor, heard it and stopped everything until that person played their role. You know, in the midst of the local church, where there are many others who are part of that body, in the midst of the mission of the church universal and carrying the gospel to the ends of the earth, it can easily begin to creep into our minds that we start to think that our contribution, if not played, will not be missed. Like that piccolo player, we think, well, I'm just one person playing an insignificant role, and if I don't play it, it's not going to matter that much. We may think, what's the big deal if I don't serve? What's the big deal if I don't engage in what God is doing in our community and to the nations? What's the big deal if I don't play my part in the church? Where we may begin to think, I've played my part in the church for a number of years. Now it's time for someone else to play my part. The reality is, no matter whether we see ourselves as a big contributor or a small contributor, that there is a role that each and every one of us has that only you can do. That if we just expect that other people will do it, that the body of Christ will be incomplete, the body of Christ will be lacking. You see, there's a power in together that is not fully seen if everyone does not do their part. And so over these next weeks, I want to challenge us and encourage us and hopefully help us to be equipped a little bit more into thinking, what is my role and how do I fit in and what has God prepared me to do that only I can do for the sake of his body and for the sake of his work here on this earth. So this morning, I want us to think through two things. First, to embrace. And then with each of those two things to embrace, a couple of thoughts on how to accomplish that. So as we talk about the power of together, that we might serve together, that we might build the body of Christ together and what he has in store, sermon notes are in your bulletin. You can fill in the blanks. Here's the first thing to embrace. The first is to embrace your part and play it. Embrace your part and play it. Verses 12 through 20, we'll begin in verses 12 through 13 to see how you embrace your part and play it. Verses 12 through 13, Paul says, "The body is a unit, and though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. And so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by or into one spirit, into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink." Understanding and embracing your part here is how first you appreciate. We must be people who appreciate the unity of the body. The church is called here the body of Christ. There are many different analogies that the scriptures uses, the family of God, the people of God. One of them is the body of Christ that the Apostle Paul uses. He equates the church to a physical body, to a human body. The church is called the body of Christ as it is compared to a human body. And though he says there are many parts, they all add up to form how many bodies?
One.
Many parts forming one unified body with the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of that body. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23, Paul says there to the Ephesians, "And God placed all things under his feet," speaking of Jesus, "and appointed him to be head over everything for the church," which is his what? His body. Who is the head?
Jesus.
Who is the body? The church, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Christ is the head of the body. The body is a united group of individuals. See, it's interesting for us. We don't often think about this in the Western world as easily as what Paul would have been writing to those Corinthians would have understood, that they were not just individuals who show up to something, that they were part of a whole, and if they did not fill their role, then the whole would suffer. Western thought is we are much more individualistic, and if I show up, well, the whole is just better because I showed up, but if I'm not there, well, the whole doesn't matter so much. Where biblical thinking is, it is community-based, that we are part of a whole, and if we do not fill our role as the body, then something will lack. There is a unity to the body of many people being made into one body. Paul says, when we came to Christ, that we were all baptized into the same body by the Holy Spirit, and we all share the same Holy Spirit. See, each of us individually carry the presence of the Holy Spirit when you come to faith in Christ. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you become part of this body of which he is the head that you are baptized into. And so each of us carry this unifying presence as we sit here together. And that unifying presence is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when we gather together as the body of Christ, as the people of God, as the family of God, there is this corporate connection of the people of God who each carry the Holy Spirit coming together. Have you ever met somebody for the first time, you never met them before, and you're like, there's something I know about them? And you find out that they're a Christian. How do you know that? It's because the Spirit of God that lives in you is the same Spirit of God that lives in them, and so you understand them. There's a connection. See, friends, we are each individually carrying the presence of God by the Holy Spirit. But as we come together, there is this power of together as the Spirit of God's presence is multiplied as he comes together in us and among us. We are in unity together. And so embracing our part to play it, we appreciate the unity. But we also appreciate the diversity. We appreciate also the diversity. Verses 14 to 20. "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. There are many parts, but one body. Appreciate the diversity. It's almost comical, isn't it? Paul's argument. What if the eye said to the hand, well, I want to be you? Or what if the ear said to the foot, I don't care about you? Where would we be? See, there is this uniqueness. There are many parts, but just one body. However, all of these parts, diverse as they are not the same. If all were an ear, the body would be incomplete. If all were a mouth, the body would be incomplete. If all were a foot, or you fill in the body part, then the body would be incomplete. In the same way, each and every one of us is as unique as the uniqueness of our body parts. There's diversity. There's creativity with God. Each of us is unique as God has created you, as God has created me to do our own unique part. Friends, understand this. You have a part to play that only you can play. You have a part to play that only you can play. If you are expecting somebody else to play your part, who is a hand and you're an ear, Paul's argument is a hand cannot play the part of an ear. We look at that as in physical body terms, and we'd say, yeah, that just doesn't work. It's the same principle for the church. Expecting someone else to fill your role is not going to work because they're not you. Friends, God has created you uniquely. He has designed you with purpose. He has gifted you in a way that only you are gifted. He has given you a personality and passions that only you carry. And he intends for you to use them. Because in the unity and the diversity, there is a part that you can play. So embrace it and play it. Next week and in weeks to come, we're going to talk next week specifically about spiritual gifts and about manifestations of the Spirit. Because we are empowered. This is not just natural work. This is spiritual work in the kingdom of God. And so we need to understand our spiritual gifts and the manifestations of the Spirit next week and the ways in the weeks after of how God has built us so that we might be able to fully understand who God has created us to be and the role that he's created us for. So we understand, am I a hand, am I an eye, am I an ear? You get the picture. Embrace your part and play it. Appreciate the unity all under Christ who is the head, baptized into the same Spirit. Appreciating the diversity of how each one of us is unique and a part that each of us can play. Story is told of a certain mountain village in Europe where several centuries ago, a nobleman wondered what legacy he could leave to the townspeople of his town. Finally, he decided that the best way to leave a legacy would be to build a church for that community. The complete plans for the church were kept secret, and when the people gathered upon its completion, they marveled at the church's beauty, and they marveled at the church's completeness. Following many comments of praise as the whole community gathered together, one astute observer inquired, "But where are the lamps? How will the church be lighted at night?" Without answer, the nobleman pointed to some brackets that were mounted on the wall, and he finally then gave a lamp to each family. And he said, this lamp is to be carried to the worship service and hung on the wall where you are seated. Each time you are here, the area where you are seated will be lighted. Each time you're not here, that area will be dark. Whenever you fail to come to church, some part of God's house will be dark. Friends, this is less about attendance and more about playing your part. Life happens and you can't be here every single Sunday. I recognize that. The point is this. If you don't embrace your part and play it, there will be aspects that will be in the dark. There will be aspects of what God wants to accomplish in our midst and through us that we will not see take place. Because only you can do what only you have been created to do. You're a part of the body. There's unity under Christ, but there's diversity as well. Embrace your part and play it. Second thing to embrace, and then how to embrace it. Embrace interdependence. Embrace interdependence. Verses 21 to 27 help us to see what interdependence looks like. How to do it? First, we work together. Verses 21 to 27, we work together. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. We need each other. We need to work together. And there is no one person, there is no one role, no one job that is superior to another. The pinky toe is one of those things that seems so insignificant. But do you know what happens if your pinky toe gets lopped off? Your sense of balance goes all wacky. That one little toe on the outside of your foot, if that toe is absent, your sense of balance has gone wacky. Because you need the whole thing. You would say, boy, the hand is way more important than the pinky toe. The reality is, every single part is needed. Every single part has equal validity, equal purpose, equal worth. Everyone needs to work together. All the parts are equal. Everyone needs each other. If one part suffers, the whole body suffers. If one part rejoices, the whole body rejoices. You, Paul says, are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Friends, I want you to know that you belong here. You belong. You are part of a body that's bigger than yourself, and you belong. Together we work to see the kingdom of God come here in our midst and in our community. We need each other. We need to work together. Second, on how we see this happen of embracing interdependence. Interdependence starts with working together, but it also then understanding a recognition of the roles within the body of Christ. One not being greater, but there are different roles. from verses 28 through the end of the chapter, and then looking for a moment at Ephesians chapter 4 as we would wrap up. Verses 28 through 31. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Paul here in this last passage, and next week this will help you understand this a little more as we talk about gifts and we talk about manifestations of the Spirit and these different things. Next week this will make a little bit more sense. But what Paul is saying is there are different gifts, but there's also different roles. And he kind of combines the two together. And what I want to do in these last moments are talk about a few of these roles that Paul combines. We'll talk about gifts next week, but I want to talk about roles this morning. He gives a couple of them here, and then I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He says in verse 28, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers. Those are three roles that he shares in Ephesians chapter 4, and the rest of them then are gifts that he talks about. So I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. If you're in 1 Corinthians, a few pages back, you'll come into Galatians and then Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 13. We'll focus on verse 11 first. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 says this. It was he, talking about Jesus and talking about the work of the Spirit, it was he who gave some to be apostles. Do you see that first one there? Back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, some to be prophets, that's the second one, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and for some to be teachers, he mentions that one, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Recognizing these roles, Paul talks about five roles here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And so if you have your scripture, if you have a copy of scripture, what do you see as the first one? It was he who gave what? Some to be apostles. The first role is apostle. The visionary, understand this, there can be a lot of debate over are there apostles today? And the definition of an apostle is one who was with Christ, who walked with Christ, who saw and heard everything he did firsthand and heard what he said and saw what he did firsthand. So there are not in this sense modern day apostles, I don't believe. But the gift, the role of apostleship would be fully operational today. And the role of apostleship is that visionary. Think of the Apostle Paul who is out there on those missionary journeys. He's blazing the trail. He's doing something new. He's planting churches. He's saying, this is what God is up to, and this is where we're going to go, and this is how we're going to get there. Oftentimes, the person who is in a role of an apostle is a visionary. They're an initiator type and often has the spiritual gift of leadership. The second role, what do you see? First, apostles, then what? Prophets. Now, when we hear prophets, we think of foretellers of the future. This is not what prophecy is. We'll talk about prophecy next week in this sense. A prophet is one who shares God's message for that local body. Prophet is the one who shares the message of God to that local body. This is what the Lord is saying to us. Anytime we open the Word of God, we are able to declare this is what the Word of God says, but the prophet says this is what the specific application, the Word of the Lord is for this body of believers from the Scriptures or from a word of prophecy from the Lord. The prophet is the one who says this is what God is saying. They share God's message for that local body and is often connected to the spiritual gift of prophecy. What's the third one? Evangelist. Evangelist. Now, evangelist is someone who is unique, has a unique ability to share the gospel and to evangelize people. But more than that, there are those who help others do it. See, we've had this mindset that who is the, in our generation, who is the greatest evangelist? Billy Graham. Say, well, Billy Graham's the evangelist, and he's going to be the one to tell everybody about Jesus and get everybody saved. And he had an amazing ministry, and many thousands, maybe who knows, millions of people came to know Christ. But in a moment, I want us to see that the evangelist is not the only one who shares the gospel. What's the fourth one? Pastors. Pastors. Pastors are those who shepherd the body, who care for the needs of the people. Most of the time, they have the gift of mercy or exhortation or encouraging as a spiritual gift to care for and to build up the people of God. And what's the last role? Teachers. They're the instructors of the body, the teachers of the body, and usually have a teaching spiritual gift. These roles are not, these are the five that do it and are greater than everybody else. Because think back, is there any part of the body that is superior or of more value than another? No. But somehow we tend to see people in these roles and we lift them up. And we say, they're great, they're wonderful, they're the ones, they're the superstars, they're the professionals, they're the ones that do all, they're the amazing ones. We can never be like them. But according to what Paul says, is that true? No. They have no more value than the pinky toe. They just have a different role. And so, friends, I would love, and I believe it's the Lord's heart, that within a local body, and if not fully present in a local body, you see it, and you can bring other people in that are going to be those who have that apostleship gift, who are saying, this is what the Lord is saying. They're leaders. They're visionaries. They usually have to slow down because they're running 100 million miles an hour. But we need those people, don't we? To trailblaze and say, this is where God's at work, and we got to go do it. And we also need the prophets in our midst that say, this is what I believe the Lord is saying to us. This is what we need to pay attention to encourage and strengthen and to comfort and to build us up. And we need the evangelists who have the heart to see lost people come to Christ and will challenge us all to be sharing our faith and will help us to do that. And we need the pastors, those who will care for the people well and will love the people well and will build the people up well. And we need the teachers. We need all five of these. We need all five of these roles being played. Understand, lastly, what the purpose is in this interdependence thing. What's the purpose? Verses 12 to 13. To do all the work of the ministry, right? That's what it says in verses 12 to 13, that the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers do all the work of the ministry, right? No. It says to do what? To prepare God's people for works of service. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. What's the purpose of those five? The purpose of those five is to build up the rest of the body to do the work of the ministry. One pastor, J.D. Greer, who is now the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, said, when I became a pastor, I left the ministry. And his purpose was that it's the people of God in the church are the ones who do the ministry. The pastors, the teachers, the apostles, the evangelists, the prophets are the ones who equip the people to do the work of the ministry. All of you are the ministers. We need to begin to see ourselves that way if we don't already see ourselves that way. Coming to church is a wonderful thing. But that's just the beginning. If you are part of the body of Christ, you have a role to play. You are a minister in the body of Christ to build the body up and to proclaim the gospel to the nations and to our neighborhood. And every single one is needed. My role and some of these others is just to build up and equip you to do the work of the ministry. And I have to say, I love doing work of the ministry. And so it's easy for me to do more probably work than I should of the ministry and keep it from forcing others to have to do the work of the ministry, because I love doing it. But my role more than anything is to help you to do the work of the ministry. And so that's where we need to go, to prepare God's body, God's people for the works of service, so that together we might work together to build the kingdom of God. See, I hope you see, as we've talked, that there is a power in together. There is a power in together that we have that far outweighs what I have or what you have individually. Together we work. Together there is power. Because with Christ as the head and the Spirit as our empowerment, great things can happen for the glory of God. I want to show you about a 4-minute video of a father and son, Dick and Rick Hoyt, who found the power of together, how much they can accomplish. May it challenge us and encourage us to be the body of Christ together. Watch this short video. Thank you.